And Colossians, a new book in the Bible today. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful. If we will believe it and trust you, you will enable us to live it and apply it to our hearts and lives and to know the joy and the peace in our hearts that it will bring. And God, it is that we look forward to as we come to this worship service, that you would draw us closer to you. Help us, dear God, to walk in your will. Heavenly Father, I ask for the filling of your blessed Spirit. Lord, that by your help and by your grace, I may minister the word this morning to the church. Father, I pray for my dear wife, you would fill her with your Spirit in relaying the message and sign. I thank you for the adult Sunday school class that's already taken place, as well as the children's Sunday school class. I thank you for the word that's gone forth. And Father, I pray that it would work in our hearts and make us more like your blessed Son. Thank you for those in the nursery now. Bless as the children are cared for, that others may be in the service. Thank you for that, God. I pray for the filling and help of your Spirit there as well. And dear God, might we become a people more like your Son, conformed more to the image of your dear Son, and people that are longing to see you, to see your return, and a people, God, that have a burden that others might know, the God, the loving God that we know, the powerful God that we know. Oh, Father, please help us this morning in this. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk about the home this morning a bit, as God describes it in his word. I found this in one of my dresser drawers here, and I thought, wow, this is so neat.
You told me that already, and I forgot.
This is so neat, and I thought I would try this out. It's not fast speed, that's just this lady's voice, okay? But Brother Dennis, the sound, it comes out of this thing, and everybody, she's not even here. I mean, this thing, it comes out, and we can hear what she's saying. Look at this. I mean, we can send this thing around the world, Brother Dennis, and Brother Brian, and we can ship it around the world, and the gospel message could get out. And isn't that exciting? If I were to ask for a raise of hands, how many think that we should do that? Most of you are looking at me with kind of one eyebrow raised, saying, okay, Pastor Bob, you really lost it this morning. Why is that? Because it's a cassette tape, you see? And what? It's outdated, isn't it? And by the way, we have, thank God, a computer site, and where even the signing for the deaf is on there now, and that's seen around the world. And we don't have to buy a new tape every time that happens. You see, that's outdated. I don't know how I've probably had that cassette tape. How old is that? Maybe some of you know. A long time ago. But I've had that, been a long time outdated. well, maybe I just need to get, you know, get with it and have something that works better. We have those things going. Thank God for that. Well, I have something else that I'm sure is outdated too. I have this at the house, and we've had this something just like this for well over 20 years now. And I'm almost embarrassed to show you this outdated thing. It's an iron board. Just works like this. Pretty slick. Pulled down. There it is. And certainly it's been, you know what, 40 years maybe or more. And I'll just throw it away. Certainly none of you have anything like this at your house, do you? How many here have something like this at your house? You see all the hands up in the air. You know why that is? That is because this really hasn't been improved upon, has it? And haven't seen the need to improve upon this. And there are some things that certainly need to be improved upon, isn't there? And there are some things that that being new is not always good. Most of us have a computer in here. How many of you maybe have Windows 10? And you realize that it's not really improvement over Windows. Was there a 7, 8, 9? I lost track of it. But we had Windows 10, and I found out Windows 10 wasn't really an improvement over Windows 7, 8, 9. Just because it's new doesn't mean it's better. And so we realize that some things can be improved on. There is one thing that cannot be improved upon, and that is the Word of God. And God is the maker of the home. He is the one that designed it. And listen, regardless of what the psychologist and all the therapists may say and the intellectuals of the day, we can improve upon God's plan for the home. And we just need to believe that and to trust in that. The home is the trying ground for the Christian faith. We cannot glorify God in the world unless we glorify God in the church. We cannot glorify God in the church unless we glorify God in the home. We cannot glorify God in the home unless we glorify God in our personal walk with Him. And may we as believers this morning submit ourselves to the Word of God and follow His recipe for a heavenly home. I was reviewing this message and I've preached, you know, messages like this, you know, many multiples of years now, decades now. And I was looking at this outline of the home, and I thought, wow, how different it is today than among the first times I preached a message like this 20 years ago in this place. Not this place, but this town. How much things have changed. There's so many confusing things going on. No wonder our youth are confused. Listen, marriage is between a man and a woman, okay? Let's just get that straight. And by the way, if you have a question doubting which one you are, a male or a female, if you got a problem with that, if you're a female, we'll have a female tell you how you can know which one you are at the end of the service. By the way, if you're a male having a problem with that, we'll have another male here to tell you which one you are at the end of the service and how you can know that. Do I need to be any more clear? We are what we are born, amen? If you were born a male, you're a male. If you're born a female, you're a female, okay? That's what gender you are. And by the way, there are only two genders, okay? Can we get that straight? The Bible says, in the beginning God created them what? Male and female. Is there any other ones there? No, there's just male and female. That's what God created. And by the way, I'm talking about what's best for your peace. What's best for God's will? What's best for God's glory? Talking about all that. And that's what we want. We want to do God's will. And we're going to look at having a heavenly home. And by the way, some of the things I'm going to share this morning, the world would look at us like, look at this group like, well, you guys must be from the Stone Age. That church must be a dinosaur. But listen, let me tell you something. This hasn't been approved upon. Nor will it ever be. And so I thank God for showing us what a godly home would be like, what a heavenly home would be like. We're going to have a heavenly home. Here are some ingredients. Number one, wives be respectful. Number one, wives be respectful. Wives are called to submit to their husbands. That's what we read here in whose word? God's word. This isn't the pastor's idea. This is God's word. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. You know what submit means? It means to place in order, to place under in an orderly fashion. Submission here, let me get my outline up there since I got it out there. Get ahead of myself there. Wives, be respectful, submit. The wife's submission to her husband is a divine command. That term, wives, submit, is in the imperative. It's something that a wife is commanded to do by God. It means to place in order, to place under in an orderly fashion. It has nothing to do with the value of an individual. God loves us all the same. We are of equal value to God. And by the way, every human soul is more valuable than all the riches in the world. And we're all of equal value to God. We are to submit. Or wives are to submit to their husbands. Now, we've already been told in the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 5, 21 and following, that women are also told to submit to their husbands. But before they're told that, in Ephesians 5, 21, we are to be submitting ourselves to one another in the fear of God. Every believer ought to submit to another believer. If someone gives me godly advice, you know what? I ought to submit to it. By the way, whether it's a woman, whether it's a man, whether it's a little child, if a little child tells me something godly ought to be doing in my life, guess what I should do? I should submit to it. You see that? It has nothing to do with the value of a person. And we see that. It is simply an issue of divine order. In order for a home to function properly, there must be a chain of command. God has appointed the husband to be the leader of the home. He will be held accountable before God to see that all the issues of a home life are directed in a godly manner. Family worship, finances, activities, whatever it might be. And that chain of command, that the wife is next under the husband. And she is to submit to the husband. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, the older women are to teach the younger women this. Titus 2:5, it says, women are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Oh, wow. There's some places, if I were just to be allowed to speak, say, in the Coliseum or something, they let me come aside to speak during some other event, and I preach something like that, I'm likely to get things thrown at me. We're seeing what the Bible says. They're to be obedient unto their own husbands. Now, in Titus 2:5, it says they're to be obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. What's he saying there? You see, in Paul's day, even the lost world viewed all these things as virtuous. If they saw that a woman who had an attitude that I don't need to obey my husband, that's old-fashioned, the lost world then would go, that's not virtuous. See what that Christian religion does? If they saw someone saying they're a Christian, but the wife is disobedient to the husband and rebellious, they'd say, that's a wicked religion. Why? Because most of the world thought that way. Most of the world thought it was right and virtuous for the husband to lead the home and the wife to be in submission. Well, we've made quite a change today, haven't we? We see that. Even the lost world views that. If Christianity then did not promote these things, the world would have considered its teaching evil. In 1 Peter 3:1, Peter says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. To your own husbands. It's interesting in the women's liberation movement today, we'll have feminists today who will so vehemently reject being submissive to their own husband, but they'll labor tirelessly on the job to please the boss so they can climb the corporate ladder. And yet their boss is many times somebody else's husband. They'll submit to that guy because he's the boss. Whatever he does, they'll do. And above and beyond, why? To climb the corporate ladder.
But she comes home from work and the poor old husband wants dinner. And she goes, oh, fix your own dinner. I've been busy. In the women's liberation movement. One such feminist indicated that many of the wives of conservative politicians do not represent the women of America. She referred to these women who had chosen to be keepers at home as plastic and doormats. This is the world. You see, the world not only has begun to view God's plan as archaic, they've begun to view God's plan as evil, as not right. That's not good. That's not virtuous. That a wife submit to her husband, and they've begun to make that judgment upon the Word of God. I spoke with a fellow worker some time ago who was looking forward to the new pastor coming to his church, and he mentioned that he believed she was going to be a good fit for the church, and I began praying for him after that, because I know very clearly from my Bible, it's not a difference. Women are just as valuable as men. Women many times are smarter than men in some areas. Women can teach children. Women can even teach their husbands at home some great things. But I know the Bible teaches very clearly that in the church house, women are not to be teachers over men. They are not to be. They are not to. They are not to usurp authority over the man. You say, where'd you get that at, preacher? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Paul writes this. By the way, Paul is writing under the inspiration of who? The Holy Spirit is directing Paul to write. Okay, but I suffer. That means I allow. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And in 1 Timothy 3:14 he says, these things write I unto thee. In 1 Timothy 3:15 he says, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. So Paul's not saying a woman should never teach her husband at home. I've learned some spiritual things from my wife. She'd share some truths with me that she had from her devotions, and it's been a blessing to me. I'm glad about that. But the Bible's talking about in the house of God, we shouldn't have a woman over a Sunday school class that has men in it, because they're not to have that authority. I know that's not popular, but I'm just going to tell you the truth, okay? I'm just going to preach the Word of God this morning. And by the way, it'll draw the seekers closer, and it'll drive the people that aren't seeking farther away. Because what we want is truth, isn't it? What we want is the Word of God. The wife's submission to your husband is a divine command. God commanded that. And then, on the outline this morning, the wife's submission to the husband is a devoted choice. Is a devoted choice. Look at verse 18 again. Wives, submit who? What? Submit yourselves under your own husband. Wives, submit yourselves under the own husband. You see, it is not for the husband to make the wife submit. You won't find that in the Bible. The wife is supposed to make that decision herself. The husband who says, you need to submit to me. Listen, my friend, if you're needing to say that to your wife, if I need to say that to my wife, we've got some problems in leadership. You see what I'm saying? The wife is to submit herself. That's to be her choice in submitting to her husband. You know, these that want to picture us Bible believers saying that, you know, the husband walks around with a club, makes the wife submit. That's not in the Bible. She's to submit herself willingly. It's to be her decision. In Ephesians 5, chapter 5, we see that again in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Ephesians 5:24, as the church is subject unto Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we're the church here. The Bible says the husbands, or the wife, the Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. How many things do you think we ought to obey Christ in? Everything. And obviously the wife ought to obey her husband in everything. By the way, in the context of the Bible, everything that's godly. I don't believe a wife needs to sin if her husband tells her to sin. I don't believe that. Some people do. I don't believe that. As long as it is the will of God and the husband, then the wife ought to submit to that leadership and to that rule. By the way, the wife submits to the husband as the church submits to Christ. How many of you in here had Christ make you do something? I didn't want to do it, but Jesus made me do it. How many of us can say that? There's not a one, is there? You know why? Because Jesus doesn't force us against our will, does he? That's the same way that the relationship is between the husband and the wife. Husband's not to make the wife do something. She is to will. Just like God wants us. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. And that's the same way a husband is, that a wife is to submit. She's to love her husband, and she says to submit to his leadership because she loves him. And the husband has no business trying to make her submit. That's not what God has called the husband to do. The husband who must make his wife submit doesn't have a submissive wife. He only has a subdued wife. You see. What a truth the Bible gives us here. It is not for the husband to force the wife to follow. You say, well, what if my wife don't want to go to church? You're going to church with me, you know, woman, get up out of that. That's not it. Well, honey, I love you, and I'm going to church this morning, and I'll be praying for you. We'll miss you. Well, I hope you'll think about that. And you go to church. And then you go home, and you be sweet to your wife again. I'm getting into the later part of the message here. And you what? You continue to minister in love and pray for God to change your heart. You don't make your wife do anything. That's not how it works. So the wife's submission to her husband is a devoted choice. It's her choice. It's what she must do. By the way, it's a divine command from God. The wife's submission to her husband is between her and God. That's her business, between her and God. She's supposed to submit. It's a divine command, and she's supposed to do it willingly. It's supposed to be a devoted choice. And her relationship with God will depend upon whether she does that or not. Husband, it's not your business. That's between her and God. And if she wants to be right with God, she'll do that. If she doesn't, she won't be right with God. And it's not my place to step in and say, you need to be right with God and submit with that. No, you won't find that in the Bible. See, God has to work that in her heart, has to work that out. And then the wife's submission to her husband is a devout calling. It is a high and holy calling. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. What's it say? As is fit in the Lord. As is fit in the Lord. It's interesting, that word fit. That Greek word is from two Greek words put together. Ana, meaning up, and heko, meaning to come. So for a wife to submit to her husband, as is fit in the Lord, is to come up. You see, when a woman realizes the Bible says that it's a divine command for me to let my husband lead, it's a divine command for me to submit to my husband, I love God, and because I love God and I love my husband, I want to do that. The Bible says she steps up to holiness. She steps up to holiness. It's fitting the Lord. She's taking a step up in holiness, in a relationship with God. She's drawing closer to God. We see that in Titus chapter 2, as the aged women are commanded to teach the younger women. That the aged women, they are to teach the younger women, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. And guess what's in that list? Oh, you go about halfway down this, verse 5, they're to be obedient to their husbands. You see that? As becometh holiness. Because that's a step up in your walk with God. And thank God for that, for those wives who do submit in that manner. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5, Peter talked about this. He said, for after this manner, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Did you get that? The holy women of God of old time willingly put themselves into subjection to their own husbands. What a blessing. What a blessing. And by the way, you can't improve upon the home that'll do these things. If you don't believe me, look at the fruit that comes out of the homes, okay? Just look at it today. Look at the struggles, the heartaches. By the way, I'm not dissing anybody. I'm a sinner saved by grace. That's why I'm going to heaven. And my heart aches for those who have come from different backgrounds, haven't enjoyed that. I didn't come from a Christian home, and that such. It was a holy thing for them to submit. And also notice that the Bible calls the wife, especially with children, to be keepers at home. You'll find that in Titus 2:5. They are to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Keepers at home. Listen, once a wife has children, once she becomes a mom, guess who needs her at home? The children do. The children do. And by the way, they need a caregiver. And the caregiver's mom. Nobody cares like mom. It breaks my heart when I hear about people hiring a caregiver. Listen, you can't pay somebody to love. You can't pay somebody to care like mom cares, can you? And that's the way God designed it. It's for mom to care for those children. Listen, if you can make a lot more money than your husband, and all your husband has a skill for, has the gifts for, is maybe work at a fast food place. If you can make a living, be it meager, off of that fast food place, you're better off with a husband working there and the wife at home than the wife going out and making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Your home would be better off. I'm just going to tell you the truth this morning, okay? Your home will be better off. Why? Because this is the way God designed it. And a man's life consisteth not what? In the abundance of things which he possesseth. It's not about how much you have. It's not about who dies with the most toys wins. That's not what it's about. Not what it's about. It's about following the word of God, following the will of God, yielding to these things. And in Titus 2:5, again, it's in that list. He says, there are to be keepers at home, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Again, if the world out there looked at Christians who they're not staying home with their children. Why, dad works and mom goes out to work too so they can have some more money. That's it. The world would have said, that's not right. In Paul's day, the world would have said, that's not virtuous. They would have blasphemed this book, the Christian faith, if those wives hadn't stayed home with their children. They would have spoke low of the Christian faith. Boy, we've seen that coin flip, haven't we? Listen, I'm not moving from this book. The world can pass me by, and I'll die preaching this book by God's grace. And by the way, and I rejoice for every home that follows it, because I know God will bless that. And God will bring that joy. And he'll give them all the strength they need for whatever he allows in their lives. By the way, as far as this home thing, and the children, the husband's leading the home. Husband, you need your wife's help. We need our wives' help. In Genesis 2:18, the Bible says, the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Amen. Got to humble ourselves a little bit here this morning, guys. God got done making everything. And remember, he said he saw everything was good. Then he got to thinking, he's looking at man, he says, you know, he made mates for all the animals, all that, and he says, it is not good that what? Man should be alone. And he made him a wife. And help meet for him. Someone fit for him to be able to help him. You know what God said, that guy needs help. you know why you have a wife? Because God said that guy needs help. And just tell him for yourself and say, yeah, I need my wife. My wife is a blessing to me. And I need her, and God, I need her help, and I'm thankful for that. And my wife and I were talking. And oftentimes, you see a married couple, one will pass away. If the husband passes away first, you look at the wife. The wives will generally live a lot longer by themselves after the husband passes away. But you look at the in cases where the wife passes away first. In most cases, the husband doesn't live long afterward. That's just the way it is. And I thank God for my wife. And thankful for that. We need women at home. Our children need women at home. I can't stress how important this is for us to get that. By the way, if you have a family, this is right down your alley. By the way, if you have relatives that have families, you can pray for them and be a counselor to them as God allows you regarding these truths. Over 100 years ago, G.K. Chesterton asked, "Can anyone tell me two things more vital to the human race than these? What man shall marry what woman? And what shall be the first things taught to their child, to their first child?" There's something to think about. Chesterton goes on to comment that the daily operations surrounded her, that's mom, with very young children who need to be taught not so much anything, but everything. Babies need not to be taught a trade, but to be introduced to a world. To put the matter shortly, a woman is generally shut up in a house with a human being at the time when he asks all the questions that there are and some that there aren't. When people begin to talk about this domestic duty as not merely difficult but trivial and dreary, I simply give up the question. He's saying, I simply don't understand. He says, "For I cannot, with the utmost energy of imagination, conceive what they mean. If drudgery only means dreadfully hard work, I admit that the woman drudges in the home as much as the man might drudge at his work. But if it means that the hard work is more heavy because it is trifling, colorless, and of small import to the soul, then I say, I give it up. I have no idea what they're talking about." That I would say, amen. Stephen Farrar writes in his book, Survival in the American Jungle, "How can it be an important career to tell other people's children about mathematics, and a small career to tell one's own children about the universe? A woman's function is laborious, not because it is minute, but because it is gigantic. I will pity Mrs. Jones for the hugeness of her task. I will never pity her for the smallness of it." That's the woman's at home, rearing those children. Sobering thought. Listen, folks, this would bring revival to our country. If we get this. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. As my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. I came again when days were past. The form I gave it, it still bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day. And molded with my power and art, a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it nevermore. That's a challenge, folks. That's a challenge. That's a challenge. Pray for mothers, amen. Rearing those children. One minister's wife told of filling out a form in her pediatrician's office. Beside the blank marked occupation were these words in quotes:
If you devote the greater part of your time to loving, caring, and making a home for your family, put a big star in this space. I like that.
I saw on the news the other day there was a secular daycare, not even a church daycare, a secular daycare had a sign up where the parents, of course, many times both of them working, would come to pick up their children. And the sign said, as you pick up your child, please put your cell phone away. Your children need you. Wow. That's a secular place, okay? We're Christians. We ought to know our children need us. That's the design.
Number two. Husbands, be regardful. We need to love. Lead with Christ-like compassion. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, love your wives. You would think after telling us the woman, you need to submit. Now point two should be, now husband, lead. But it doesn't say that. What does it say? It says husband, love. Husband, love. Because you can't lead. You and I can't lead but by love. But by the love of Christ. Husbands, love your wives. If the wife is to submit to you, husband, that means you are to take the leadership of the home, and we must. As a husband, you'll never be able to lead your home until you become a follower of Christ. You see, a true leader is a follower. If we're not a follower, we're not a leader. And we are to follow Christ. And he that will lead his home must endeavor to love his wife. Husbands, Ephesians 5:25, love your wives, even as what? Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a great love. And that's the love that we are challenged to lead our families with. By the way, you want to read about that love, there's a whole chapter of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I won't go there this morning for sake of time. But it's a divine love. It's a love that's is an unselfish love. An unconditional love. It is decisive. It's not just a feeling. It is a decisive course of action that seeks the well-being and joy of another. And that's your wife. That's your wife. Love is the divine grace which God gives and uses to draw the church into submission to his leadership. What did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. That was the power that Christ used to draw us to follow him, was his love to us. He did a pretty good job of that, didn't he? We think about the Apostle Paul. What made those disciples go through all that? Brother Dennis read us some of that this morning in the Sunday school hour. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll just go there for a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul is talking about some of the things that they as apostles go through in their ministry on a regular basis. 1 Corinthians 4 and 11, around verse 11 or so here. Well, verse 10, Paul says, we are fools for Christ's sake. Look down at verse 11. Even unto this present hour we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted, that's beaten, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. That's refuse. Offscouring is what you wipe off the pan into the trash can when you're all done. What made them go through that kind of treatment? How in the world did they endure that? Well, he tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. What compels us to do that is how much Jesus loved us. Is how much God loved us through Christ. By the way, what ought to compel your wife to follow you, husband? Is how much you love her through Christ.
that ought to make her willingly want to submit. I'm going to follow this man. Why? Because he's following Christ. And as Christ gave himself for the church, this man would give his life for me. As Christ gave himself for the church's best, this man, I believe, is looking out for my best. And she ought to know that from the Word of God. She ought to know that from the life that we live.
Love has to be that divine motivation that love that we give to our wives and that spurring and seeding that love that she would have for us to want to follow us because she wants to. Because she believes we're following Jesus. So, lead with Christ-like compassion, husband. And then lead with careful consideration. Look at verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Be not bitter against them.
Now, that bitter term doesn't mean what we might think it means at first. You know, we might think about a bitter spirit. You know, someone does you wrong and they don't apologize and you kind of, you know, you get a little crossways in your spirit toward them and we can say that you're kind of bitter about that. That's not what it's talking about here. This bitter here has the idea of being harsh or cruel or angry. The Chaldeans were a nation that was cruel and harsh. God called them that hasty and bitter people. And what the Bible is saying here is, husband, don't be harsh with your wife. Don't be angry with your wife. You are bigger than her and stronger than her. Most, I've seen wives that could beat me up and probably their husbands too. Okay, I understand that. But in general, husband, you're bigger and stronger than your wife, and you, there's no place for you to be yelling and screaming at her or I, is there? We're not to be doing that. We're not to be harsh. Or to be careful and considerate of our wives. By the way, we're supposed to be leading them in God's wisdom, aren't we? Listen to what James says about God's wisdom. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. What's the next word? Gentle. And easy to be entreated. We are to be gentle with our wives. Easy to be entreated. That means I don't have to have my way. Oh, the husband is not to yield on the will of God. That's for sure. But you know what? I ought not to have to have my way every time vacation time comes around. Where does my wife want to go? When the TV's turned on, it's always going to be what I want to watch. No. Easy to be entreated. I ought not to have my way in a multitude of things. We will go God's way. We are going to serve God. We're going to follow God. But on all the other stuff, the Bible says easy to be entreated. And having that careful consideration, husbands toward the wives. In 2 Timothy 2:24, the scripture says, "The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." So, if we're supposed to be gentle to one another, as servants of the Lord, don't you think, husband, that means you need to be gentle towards your wife? Easy, gentle, kind. We need that. We need that. We need to be like our Lord. Don't be bitter, don't be harsh, don't be cruel. By the way, we have to consider the feelings. Many times in Baptist circles, bless God, we don't want to live by feelings. No, we don't want to live by feelings. But we need to be considerate of people's feelings, don't we? If I lovingly tell someone they're going to hell and I hurt their feelings, I can't help that. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Word of God. Now, if I tell them in my holier-than-thou, you're condemned and going to hell attitude, then I probably have some fault in that. If I lovingly tell them, and their feelings are, I can't help that. That's the Word of God. That was, in a sense, God and God's Word and God's Spirit that hurt their feelings. And by the way, God's allowed to do that. Sometimes God needs to hurt our feelings, doesn't He? It's called conviction. and reproving of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Sometimes He needs to hurt our feelings to draw us closer to Him. But we need to be careful about that as husbands. But why? Listen about the one that we're following, the one that we're supposed to love like, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 4:15 says, "We have not an high priest which cannot what? Be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." See, Jesus is in touch with our feelings. And we as husbands need to get in touch with our wives' feelings and our children's feelings. He says about children here as far as husbands. He says in the passage here in verse 21. "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Provoke, meaning to stir anger, to excite. Discouraged, to lose heart, to become despondent, to be disturbed in mind. We need to be careful how we deal with our wives, with our children, in this authority that God has given us, in this leadership. We need to be careful with that. Consider the feelings and strengths and weaknesses of your wife and children. Again, I mentioned your wife can teach you. Listen, you are to lead like Christ, but don't forget you're not Christ, and neither am I. We're not perfect. And we may need to listen to some feedback sometimes from our wife and from our children. I remember rearing our children. They're out of the home now, and grandkids and such. But I remember having to apologize to them, urged by the Spirit. Why? Because I disciplined them when they didn't need that form of discipline. I was out of line, and the Spirit showed me that. And I've apologized to my children when that happened. The Holy Spirit led me to do that. Not always. He eventually led me to begin doing that, growing in faith. Being careful. I think about Jacob leading his flock back from when he got his wives, and he's coming back into Palestine, and he meets Esau, and along the way, and they have their reunion, and everything's okay now, and Esau says, "Come on home." And what does Jacob say to Esau in Genesis 33:13? He says, "Well, I'm going to be a little bit later than you because I've got all the flocks," he says, "and the herds and the little ones," he says. "My Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die." And men, we need to make sure we don't overdrive the flock. By the way, you don't drive a flock, you lead a flock. Amen. We need to follow Christ. And if we're following Christ and loving Christ, we'll look back and we'll find them following. We'll be able to have wisdom to direct them in that. Husbands, lead with careful consideration. Think about this. And you'll see this in the next point. When you make rules, husband, your rules now become necessary for your wife and children to obey so they can be right with God. That's almost too much to handle. I'm going to make a rule in my house that my children don't obey it. And if they don't obey it, they are now out of God's will. Did you get that? I'm going to have a direction in the home that I'm going to set, that I want, even my wife, I want to follow. And once I make that rule, if she does not obey that, and I'm talking about something that's in the will of God, but maybe not something directly written in the Word, not against the will of God, not directly written in the Word, I make that rule, and she doesn't obey that, she's not right with God. That's almost too much to bear. That's why we need to be careful and considerate in how we lead, what we demand to be obeyed in our homes, don't we? That is such a sobering thought. I'll give you just four things to consider. Take heed what you demand for obedience, husband. Is what you're demanding for obedience, is that in the will of God? Is that leading them to Christ likeness? Is that what God wants you to do at that time? We need to make sure of that. Because once we make that, they need to keep that to be right with God. And we'll see that shortly.
Secondly, take heed to why you demand obedience.
Why you demand obedience. Well, if they'll obey me doing this, that'll make, you know, my evening a little easier, you know, and they'll go do that while I'm watching my TV program. What are our motives like? Make the right rules. Make the right rules for the right reasons. Why do we do that?
Thirdly, take heed to the way you demand obedience.
We got the right rule and the right motive. Now I'm dead. And so, you know, bless God, go do that. No. Are we giving that gently? Are we giving that in the spirit of love? Be careful in these things.
Take heed to when you demand obedience.
You know, that child comes home, you found out they had a hard day at school and they forgot to take out the trash. They just come in the door and, well, they broke one of my rules. You didn't take out that trash this morning or last, whenever it was supposed to be taken out before. You didn't take out the trash. Take that out right now. You know, maybe they just need you to love them for a little while since they just had a hard day at school. Or they had a hard day in some way. And you knew about that. Maybe now's not the time for that. You see, we got to be careful in how we lead our homes. Because we can break those tender spirits. And you know, Jesus leads us that way, doesn't he? David said about God's leading, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." We need to be as firm as we need to be when we need to be. And we need to be as gentle as we can be every time we can be. We need that.
There is a time to discipline. Proverbs 13:24. I'm going a little over, but I don't apologize. We need it. Proverbs 13:24. There's a time for discipline. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 13:24.
One day I'll be thrown in jail for preaching this probably. It's not wrong to spank your children. God says children need at times to be spanked. Yes, the Bible teaches what the world calls corporal punishment today. And by the way, the Bible says that you chasten your children betimes. That means early. That means the first time they disobey. If they get a spanking for that disobedience, maybe they hit their sister or something, and you get them a little, and by the way, the motivation for spanking is always to be what? Love. Love. So the first time they do it. You see, after the second and third time, your love and my love has started to change to anger. So the Bible says, do it quickly, immediately. Because when they first do it, it's just they crossed the line. They broke the rule. And now they need the punishment. And so it's done in love, it's done in grace and in truth, the first, if we do it quickly. Longer we let it go, that part goes away. And our anger and frustration gets in it. And we don't want that.
We don't want that. There's a time for that. Finally, and I'm done. Children, I'm going backwards here. Children, be reverent. You say, oh no, you're going backwards. No, we don't do that. Let's see. There we go. Children, be reverent. Obey. The extent of that obedience, obey. It says in verse 20, children, obey your parents in how much?
How much? In all things. Every rule you gave your child, what does God say to the child? Now remember, this is the Holy Spirit giving us a message through the Apostle Paul directly. Does this say, parents, make sure your children obey in all things? Is that what it says? No, he is addressing the children directly. Children, obey your parents in what? All things. That's why we got to be careful about the things, amen? In all things.
In all things. That's the extent of it. The example of the obedience.
Children, obey your parents. See, we are to be the example of that obedience that we want for them. We ought to be obeying our Lord. and following Him the way we want our children to obey us. Amen? Mom and dad alike. And so we are to be the example of that obedience. The psychology and stuff tell us that we preach a far greater message by the life that we live than the words that we speak. And that is even more magnified when the life that we live doesn't match the words that we speak. The life lived becomes the louder message. We need to combine them both, don't we? We need to be the example and teach them the truth.
And then finally, the excellence of obedience. For this is what? Well-pleasing unto God. This is well-pleasing unto the Lord.
They'll be pleasing God. I don't know about you, I want to live to please God. You know, if we're found doing that, if we live to please God and we're pleasing God when He comes, guess what we hear? Well done what? Thou good and faithful servant. And to know that our children live to please God. I won't go there for time's sake, but I'll give you this illustration. In Jeremiah 35, you read it yourself.
You get home or something.
You have the account of a man named Jonadab. He is of the house of the Rechabites. And their great-great-grandfather, however long was ago, had given the family some rules. They were never to drink wine, and that would mean any kind of grape juice. They were not to have vineyards. They were not to build houses. They were just to build tents. That's what some long ago granddaddy had made for the whole family. And all the generations after him followed his rules. In Jeremiah 35, God is judging Israel. They had disobeyed him. He's getting ready to call Babylon in to destroy them. And in Jeremiah 35, God tells Jeremiah, go call Jonadab in here and bring him into the temple and offer him some wine. So he does that. And Jonadab says, oh no. Our great-great-granddaddy told us, no, none of that. We're not to have plant vineyards or own vineyards. We can't build a house, own a house, only live in tents all our life. And we've obeyed our father in that. You know what God said to Jeremiah after Jonadab told his story? He says, see, the children of the Rechabites have obeyed their fathers, but you haven't obeyed me. Now listen, God didn't say those rules were great. It might have been rough having to live in a tent all your life. Everybody else around us is building houses. That may not have been too smart of rules that great-grandpappy made. But you know what? God didn't address that. Because they knew that grandpappy made him, and as far as they knew, it wasn't against the word of God to do that. And so what did they do? They obeyed it. And you know what God said about those men and that family? He said, they shall not lack a man to stand before me all their days. In other words, there's always going to be somebody out of his family that's going to be walking with God and going to be a testimony for God's grace and power in this world. Why? Because they obey as children in all things. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? And God blessed them for that. God blessed them for that.
We need homes where we'll experience the same in our lives. And we'll see some children coming up out of our homes, what, with some hope, with some courage, with some compassion, with a sense of right and wrong. And wanting to do the right. And that's what we need today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And dear God, it's such a blessing to have your word, the truth to guide us all of our days. You told us in Jeremiah 16 that we are to ask for the old path, seek the old ways. And dear God, the world would consider what we've heard here this morning archaic. And most would even consider some portions of it evil. Father, we know it's from your heart, from the one who knows us best and loves us most. And so I pray you'd help us just to trust you more and more in that. Father, I thank you for the gospel of your Son. Christ died for us and rose again. Everyone in here, as I look about, has heard that gospel multiple times. And anyone at any time can trust you as Savior if they've never done that. You died for their sins and rose again. They can call upon your name just one time and be saved for all eternity. But it'll mean they'll have to mean it with all their heart. They'll have to trust you with all their heart. And I pray they'd do that in their own words right now if they haven't done it. If they have any doubts, come see me. Come see Brother Dennis, Brother Brian, one of our men, one of our ladies, if it's a woman, Father. And we can show them from the Bible. And Father, for those of us that are saved in our homes, if we have children, we can, by your grace, live in that way. We can be the granddaddies and the friends and the moms of and dads of children now grown and be their counselors as much as they'll let us. Point them in the right direction. And Father, help us to do that. And to be careful to thank you and praise you. And Lord, we do ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen.